Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show on this Friday night. Sorry, Saturday morning, as the Riders drop another one in the preseason to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. 27-20, the final. The Riders finished the preseason 0-2. Both games were against the Bombers, of course. Cuts coming in the next 24 hours, and then likely practice on Sunday to get ready for the real deal, the opening game of the season against the Ottawa Red Blacks next Thursday. But right now, let's get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
Each and every postgame show here on the Green Zone, Belton Johnson runs through his list of the good. That would be the beasts, and the bad, his beefs for tonight. Where do we start this evening, Belton?
Let's start with the beast, because
you're starting with the good.
Yeah.
Good news first from Belton Johnson.
Better than last week, right?
Was there one or two? On that one. All right, Belton, what do you got for the beasts?
I ain't got but two, Jamie.
Only two?
That's all I got, man. No, I think I got a little bit more than that. But beasts, so where was it? It didn't count as a play, but Couch, he made that tackle on the breakaway return.
I'm surprised, Belton. I predicted that was going to be your number one beast, was the effort from Joe Couch on that tackle.
That was great effort. Don't get me wrong. It was. Like,
have you ever seen a punter run that fast? He chased down a return guy.
I know. And I'm looking like, oh, my God. Like, this guy, he
caught him.
He caught him, man. I could not believe that. That was a long.
I don't think I've ever seen a kicker across the field. I can't remember the last time I've seen a kicker chase down a return guy.
It doesn't happen. What else I got here?
We've thrown him. And now he doesn't know. We got him on the kicker bandwagon. All right.
Yeah.
No.
I go Belton.
Joe Couch and Justin Medlock. It's a short list.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Jake Mayer, again, we talked about it, that deep ball he had, the Robustelli there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give a shout out to another kicker, Lowther, because, well, before that touchdown at the end there. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that put points on the board.
Didn't he miss a 30-yarder that got replayed?
That didn't count. It didn't count. There's an offside.
Don't you worry about that.
I was ready to beef that, but
don't you worry about that a little bit? Jeepers. Okay.
No, they're offside. It threw him off.
All right. Hit an upright last game.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But my biggest beast was number 16 there with the
interception.
The interception and return. I felt like he should have scored, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. He was right there. It's like, just keep going, jump, leap or something, right?
Eddie Hackard.
That was good. That was a great, man, nice that pick. Because if you think about it, Streveler almost, he was throwing it towards not the corner, but it was almost just a fly route, mm-hmm. but at a slant there. And I'm looking like, oh, man, either this is going to be a big play for the Bombers or for the Riders. And number 16 just jumped right in there. And, I thought he probably should have scored, but that was a great play by him, man.
Eddie Hackard, Belton Johnson's beast, as we get to the beefs on a early Saturday morning.
All right, Streveler, wide open, 88 for a touchdown. I'm sitting there. Was that busted coverage?
Oh,
or?
Goodness gracious.
He was wide open.
I didn't know if it was 27. I don't know if it was 27 or Sanford's, because
rookies back there. These guys haven't played before, but you're right.
Yeah, it was.
Take that guy in the blue, okay? Oh, yeah, one of us should get him.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was 7-0. I'm like, okay, the Bombers came to play. Kolaris deep the Sean there, right? Like, and then Kolarz.
That's part A and part B of our play of the game.
So what's the score right
now? 14-0.
Right? So I was like, oh, my God. What is
that
going
was,
on?
That was only what? That was less than 10 minutes. That was 9 minutes in the game. It was already 14-0.
And that's when I had decided the game was over just right there. Like, man, they came.
That was their first two possessions, right?
Mm-hmm. It was. Number 29, running back. You know, that fumble and, you know, 98 taking it all the way, right? And the thing, the Riders, they were in scoring position, right? They were in scoring position quite a few times tonight. Next one, Mayer throws the interception. The Riders, they were in scoring position twice there, right? So, but my biggest beef was the negative 73 yards a half because I'm sitting there in my seat like.
Oh, and they posted that in the stadium.
And I'm like.
Negative 73 rushing yards.
Jamie, I was trying to do some research right there on Google. Like,
how do you run backwards that far?
Well, I'm like, how many, like, did they run backwards? And
it's still on the website.
I know, it's still on the website. Yes, it is.
So, is that right or wrong?
Totally wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
No, it's wrong. They put the return yards of the defender onto Mario Anderson's rushing yards.
Poor Mario Anderson. What if he doesn't make the team? And as a career rusher, he'll be 7 carries for minus 63 yards.
They have to correct that, right?
Well, I hope so. But this is
and that's CFL. Genius, right? Genius.
Well, of course, it's
they're
geniuses. They fixed everything.
There are some businesses who have very appropriate names, and others. Less so.
But that's my biggest beef because I'm sitting there head scratching, Jamie. Even when I get here, I still saw it.
We were howling in the press box when they posted that screen up, and we're like, no, they didn't put it on the screen. Minus 73.
Jamie, I took my wife had even poked me. She's like, oh my, you didn't see it because I usually like to take a photo of the stats. And I'm like, I missed it. And on Twitter, who was that posted it? Sasko? And I was like, thanks for posting that because I couldn't get the photo.
Sasko's fake gainer. Isn't that his call letters this week?
He's got to go back to fake gainer.
Yeah, fake gainer is a perfect one.
So,
took the picture.
Right now, net rushing yards. It's still on the CFL website. Net rushing yards for the Riders, minus 50.
See, that's we said true. They have a bad offense, we said, right?
Yeah.
So their net offense right now is 235. I bet you they're over 300 yards easily. They had over 300 yards passing tonight.
That's what I
easily
thought,
over 300. So, yeah.
Okay. That's my beef.
If
right
you're
now,
looking
man.
At the stats and you're going to go minus 50, what happened? The stats crew, not the stats crew, the guys at Mosaic Stadium entered it right in the system. It's the system that had the math twisted because of.
Agreed.
So they have to change that one on that one.
Ooh.
Well deserved beef tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. Because how long have we been talking about the stats page on this with CFL the last 3 years? The last 4 years?
We're still talking about it.
And
Jamie.
They're giving this. Are they still giving this company a share in the CFL?
Oh yeah, that was part of the deal.
A 1/10 share?
Why do you think there's a new commissioner?
When is that deal up? Is it up?
Somewhere? Not soon enough.
Okay. No, it's lifetime. They gave them a partial ownership of the Canadian Football League in exchange for a great stats program, they said.
We're still talking about it.
Of course, Good way to get attention.
Oh,
it's like being a center and dribbling.
Mario Anderson is going to go to his phone and just look at the numbers and be like, what?
No, no, no. Not only him, his family and folks back home. Yeah. Like,
what were you doing? Did you go the wrong way?
We tried to watch it on CFL Plus. The website was down.
Yeah.
You saw you were at minus. Did you run backwards?
How did
were you like the Philadelphia Eagle guy from back in the day who ran backwards? Yeah.
Oh, man. Poor guy.
There's your beast and your beefs here on the Green Zone. Still to come. We got Game Warriors to come. We still have more time for your calls if you want to give us a ring at 1-877-332-8255. And, of course, we need to hear from the head coach, Corey Mace, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this early Saturday morning. Thanks for staying up late. Safe travels wherever you're headed maybe tonight, coming back from, going to, from Mosaic Stadium. As the announced attendance was over 26,000 tonight at Mosaic Stadium. Keep in mind, that is tickets distributed, not tickets scanned at door.
How many?
They called it 26,000.
Just tell me the number, Jamie.
It was 20. I forget the exact number. It was 26.
We knew most 6, of the people there, Belton. We could have gone south with them every quarter.
You're in the stands, right? A little bit?
Oh, I was in the stands. I had lots of leg room, Jamie.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't many people there.
Jeez. It was a decent amount for
a preseason game. I thought it was pretty decent. With how the smoke socked into Regina, I imagine a lot of out of towners were hearing the updates going, I'm not driving all the way. They might cancel the game. And they found a 4-hour window where the air quality was good enough to play. It was actually really good air quality, pretty much what you'd get on an average day. And before the game, it was awful. Then they delayed the game an hour, and now it's back to the level where they'd have to call the game right now. So they found a window. So there's a lot of going against them, I think, on this one, going, ooh, preseason, might be canceled because of air quality. I'm not going to drive down from Saskatoon this afternoon and have to head right back without a game. So
not many hotel rooms, from what I understand.
Oh, man, this city is jammed.
And who wants to drive around these streets here? You can't get around the streets in this city because of the traffic engineers.
Statler and Waldorf joining us, or is it just Waldorf?
No, my buddy Statler is sitting beside me. Good for you remembering the Muppets Grouchy guys.
How could I forget? This is my childhood. Let's go back to Mosaic Stadium as head coach Corey Mace assesses the preseason and the future of Cutdown Day.
Just off of first glance, it's going to be some tough conversations in there. It's a good thing, though. But, you know, we push those guys to really understand the reality of it. And those jokers, they fought till the very dang end. And there were some guys that made some really good plays tonight. And, you know, when we go back and look at the tape, you know, detail-oriented stuff of what we're looking for, you know, there might be some guys that maybe didn't answer the bell, but, you know, the tape will tell.
We can't really ask you about not scoring a touchdown in two preseason games because you did get one late, but were you happy with how the offense played with both Jake and Jack?
Yeah, I thought we moved the ball okay, and then you know, turnover down in the green zone there for us, and you know, we ended a bunch of drives obviously in preseason with kicks, and you know, we are still putting up points, but you know, we want to turn those threes into sixes, and then ultimately, you know, kick for the extra points. So, you know, certainly when you look at the totality of our starting offense and what they look like, you know, we don't have a huge sample size of that. But to test the depth of what we have, I thought we moved the ball well. We just we couldn't find ways to finish the way that we wanted. But you know, I'm a big believer being a defensive guy. You know, we score enough points as you got to hold them to, you know, less than that. And certainly, you know, we didn't accomplish that either. So certainly things to look at and things to evaluate from that standpoint. And really even the guys who, you know, didn't play tonight, things to learn from the film to put ourselves in those situations and how we'd attack that.
Corey, I know that a lot of starters didn't play this game, but this is kind of the depth, the backup of the team. Were you overall just happy with what you saw from it out there?
I would say certainly there were some plays that, you know, you wish it's like, you know, we golly. But what I will say is they battled their freaking tails off to the very end. You know, there was some times during the game where, you know, you're looking at it, you're like, holy smokes, we got to get something going here. And we fought all the way till the end. You know, things obviously in the regular season, you know, we'd probably make a couple different decisions, but I was pleased at the will and the battle of the group, and specifically the young guys who had their opportunities today To see if they match the culture of you know how we respond when our backs are against the wall, so to speak. So I did enjoy that from that standpoint. But you know, obviously, you know when the score is what it is, there's things that we got to get better at. And like I said, it's just it'll be a learning lesson from film for the guys who are rolling into the season.
What's tomorrow like for you then, as you guys crunch this film and make those cuts?
Yeah, now is just go upstairs, get some film done, hope to get a few hours of sleep, and you know we're gonna jump right into to narrowing down the roster, and there's gonna be some long meetings there to make sure that we're really thinking about you know who it is that we want to ultimately put together to make the opening day roster. We got to hammer it and then game plan, you know, instantly. That's, I'm very pleased that we were able to play this game and not have to deal with anything, maybe play tomorrow because we're already on a short week. So, you know, game plan day is tomorrow and Sunday is day one, right? So, things are going to be, yeah. See you next week, kids. Yeah.
What can you tell us about Dre McCray's injury, and can we put any likelihood on his ability to go next week?
Yeah, no, I just nothing yet. I'm about to do this and then go meet with the medical staff. But, you know, from the looks of it, I thought he just got the wind knocked out of him. But, you know, that was something that, too, is, you know, there's a couple guys tonight that got banged up, and, you know, we kind of just leverage it and say, hey, maybe let's just take a little break and move on to the next guy and see. And you know, so we kind of shut them down there. But you know, another guy I thought you know had a hell of a week last week. You know, I think people kind of understood his capabilities and they narrowed down a little bit on him this week. But you know, the kid's super talented. And again, we'll be part of the evaluation process as we look into the film and see what bodes best for our roster.
Corey, you're mentioning hard work. Joe Robicelli goes out, puts up some big numbers, but halfway through the game, he gets injured, and then he's back up and raring to get back on the field. What does that show you in a player that only got into one game last year?
Yeah, I was talking on the radio show after the game. Like that, I think to the people in the locker room, it's not a shock. Like we've seen Joe do that, you know, to our defense, you know, for over a year now. That kind of stuff doesn't shock us. We were just kind of waiting for him to display that in game, and you know, I'm happy as ever for the kid, and certainly, you know, the grit, the toughness that we want to identify as. That was some Saskatchewan shit right there, you know, you know, getting banged up and just, you know, strapping him up and, hey, work's got to be done. Proud of the kid from that standpoint. Again, another guy, you know, I'll get some more information on to see how serious it was or hopefully it was not. But you know, happy that he was able to put it into fruition for himself because he's been carving our tails up for over a year in practice.
That is head coach Corey Mace. That'll be a fine. You owe me a coffee, Corey. 1-877-332-8255. But yeah, Joe Robistelli's been impressive. Interesting comments on Dre McCray that it might have just been the wind knocked out of him. That's good news.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I'm hoping we all hope that that's what it is. Yeah. But not just because he's in a spot, but you always hope for somebody's health that you don't want it to be any more serious. But I don't know. You don't keep a guy out the whole half if it's just the wind being knocked out of him.
And it's what he said there is a great reminder of the what it's like to be a professional coach during football season, right? He's still at the stadium with the other coaches, breaking down film, putting the probably in Jeremy's office where he's got the magnet board with the players and whiteboard and everything, trying to assess it. Then it's going to be, hey, let's decompress. Let's go home, grab a quick nap. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, reassess, do the meetings. Oh, day one's tomorrow. As he said, see you next week, kids. He's got a young family at home. That's the sacrifice you have as a professional football coach on putting this team together with a short turnaround to next Thursday when they take on the Ottawa Red Blacks. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to 1 a.m. But next, Game Warriors. Here on the Green Zone postgame show after a 27-20 loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to close out the preseason. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone post-game show on now an early Saturday morning. If you're driving home, safe travels wherever we find you on the road. Or maybe we're just hanging out with you at home this evening as the Riders lose to the Bombers 27-20. That's it for the preseason. Next Thursday, it gets going against the Ottawa Red Blacks. Let's get to game, Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, game, Warriors.
Every post-game show, we tell you who the game Warriors are, those who impressed the most for the two teams. And tonight, we always start with the winning side. And again, that's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Offensive game warrior, Daryl Davis.
Yes, he picked this offensive game warrior. Who's going to eat? We have Belton segment before the game. I said, number, what is he, 84?
Eric? 88.
Carrick Wheatfall. See, I didn't even know who it was. Yeah, he played last year. Carrick Wheatfall. Targeted six times, five catches, 88 yards, and two touchdowns, including a 40-yarder. He's the offensive game warrior.
That was all in 9 minutes' work.
I know. He didn't have to play very much. But they did have their starting unit out there, right? The starting offensive, the receiver, other than Brady Oliveira, the running back, but the receiving corps was there working with Chris Strebler, the backup quarterback who will be the starter in the first game of the regular season.
So the game warrior for the Bombers with the five catches, 88 yards, and two touchdowns is Carrick Wheatfall for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Well, all we've been talking about all night is Joe Robustelli, number 82 for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Six catches, 119 yards, led all receivers, all offensive players. Yards after catch, 33, his longest reception of 48 yards. And tough. Hope he's okay. He came back in after leaving the game, hurt his right shoulder, but came back into the game, so that's a good sign. He's fighting for a spot, you know. I know everybody likes Keyshawn Johnson, and they were giving Dante Myers that other spot. Johnson may be ahead in that race, but I think Robustelli might be pushing Dante Myers and could actually end up with a starting spot, because I think it looks like they're going to use two Americans. So yeah. Robustelli has been here. He learned the offense last year, but maybe there's a way they can fit them all in. And now that Dre McCray got hurt and may not be able to play, they might have room for an extra guy. Because Robustelli did some returning too, didn't he, at the end? Was he back there? No, that was Reed. That was Reed. Weeb was back there.
Weeb was back there, yeah.
It wasn't. We had him mixed up for a minute. Yes, yep. So it was. I wonder if he can return. But Robustelli is a pretty good player. We liked him last year. They only put him in the one game. He was here for part of the season anyway, and kept wondering why he wasn't in. But tonight, he's the offensive game warrior for the Rough Riders.
There's your offensive game warriors for these two teams. Wheatfall, both receivers, Wheatfall for the Bombers, Robustelli for the Riders. As we get to the defensive game warriors tonight for the two sides, as always, we start with the winning team, and that is the Bombers.
Is it Kevin Poynter who ran that touchdown, that fumble back for a touchdown tonight? The fumble?
No. That was the big man, Webb.
Okay.
One fumble return touchdown for 90 yards, and he had a tackle.
Yeah. He's the guy.
Yeah.
That's just the way he outran everybody. He had the blockers with him, but where he picked up the fumble, man, he just took off. And you could just, there were a whole bunch of guys you never very rarely will hear of from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers playing in the defense tonight. So let's give it to the guy who scored. They needed the touchdown. They ended up winning by 7 points. So Phillip Webb with the big play, one of the big plays of the game.
Phillip Webb, our defensive game warrior, with the fumble return touchdown for the Bombers tonight as we slide over to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Remember last week we were so impressed with Jackson Ford, we gave him the defensive game warrior for the Rough Riders. But we were also really impressed with Benoit Marion, right? Tonight, three tackles, one for a loss. I know he played mostly at the end of the game, but we're looking for somebody who can put some pressure on a quarterback from that defensive line for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I'm thinking there's a guy as good as any of them, number 93, Benoit Marion. I think that
you know, is there a spot? Is there a way they can fit him in? He's played pretty well in two preseason.
But he's Canadian, so there's more than enough room, I would think.
With the beer hurt, Chabrel, the beer hurt, so there's probably space for him. And he's had two really good games on defense, so let's make him the defensive game warrior for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
There are your offensive and defensive game warriors for this one. On defense, Benoit Marion for the Riders, Philip Webb for the Bombers, Wheatfall for the Bombers on offense, and Joe Robustelli, 119 yards on six catches, and he chatted with the media post-game in the locker room, including our Britton Gray.
Well, Joe, after the strong camp you've had, how did it feel to put that together in a game?
Felt really good. Felt really, really good. Camp's been going well. Everything's been going well. Getting a lot of confidence, you know, instilled by everybody, and being able to just go out there and, you know, play and have fun with the guys meant everything.
How nice was it for this offense to the final drive there, finally get a touchdown in the preseason?
It was everything, man. You know, we worked so hard, and we've been in the red zone so often, it felt good to punch one in.
What happened to your shoulder there?
It's nothing, just a little stinger. I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
Perfect.
I was going to say, availability is the best ability, right? Do you think about that in a game like this?
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen with cuts and stuff like that, so you just want to go out there and put, you know, everything that you can on the field.
So to put that out on the field, what you did tonight, how satisfied are you?
Feels good right now. I'm not going to lie. It feels very, very good.
What is the next 24 hours like for you as you kind of wait to see what's determined, right?
Just hanging out, taking care of my body, staying in the playbook and stuff like that, and whatever decisions they make, just roll with the punches.
Joe, you look like you were in a lot of pain on the field. At what point did your mindset go from pain to, okay, get me back out there?
You know, it's just it hurts a little bit. You kind of zone it out, and then you go back out there and just keep going, man. You got to just keep on grinding.
How'd the first completion feel after coming back from the injury?
Good. You know, when you're hurting, but you go out there and, you know, you just mentally zone it out and just keep going.
What kind of milestone is a game like this when you've had kind of a unique journey such as yours?
I'm not going to lie. It means a lot, you know, quitting the game so early and, you know, chasing a dream so late. It means the world to come out here and perform the way I did.
Joe Robustelli, he's definitely a guy to cheer for. His journey is a different one.
Yeah.
He quit football early in college. He was done with it and then thought, let's give it a go. He was on the U.S. flag football national team trying to make his comeback in ball. And one of those guys, you never know what you find at one of those off-season workouts, and comes up and impresses. And definitely impressed today with 119 yards and six. I am going through the Riders roster, Daryl, after you said if there's room. Oh boy,
I like Robustelli. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they got to find a room for a guy like that.
Has Dante Myers done anything during training camp? And not especially. He's the incumbent, but I kept thinking he was going to be pushed all through training camp by somebody. And Robustelli to me is the guy who's pushed him maybe right out of work.
It is tight on what they can do with three American offensive linemen. I don't know if they're going to run a fourth. I would doubt it as a backup on that one with almost an entire American linebacking core and defensive line. I'm looking at the numbers for the Rough Rod. This is, as Corey May said, this is where it gets tough, is the ratio.
Yeah.
You're balancing. You have pretty much, what is it, 24 spots for Americans. And because now you have to have a global player on there. That'll be a punter, but they like Baldonado as well. So then you're Canadians, and you're all of a sudden you have probably 30 guys. You only got 20-some spots for them. Mm. Yes, there's a practice roster. So this is where, what do you do on special teams? Right?
Yeah.
What do you do on special teams? How do you contribute there? Can you get downfield and cover a guy and make a tackle in the open field? Those types of things. Those are bonuses. The more you can do, because they're going to want to have some defensive players who can play special teams who are American as well.
Yeah.
It's like one spot for a half dozen guys to be on the day one against the Ottawa Redblacks.
That is not my job. Man.
It is tough. You're right. It's when tough. It gets right down to it, that's what Corey Mays is talking about in his interview, that there's some tough decisions to make. Yeah. Most of the decisions are already made, but the last three or four are really tough. And after the camp Robustelli's had, the game he had tonight, you wonder, how can we, should we? Is he better than Dante Myers? The injury to McRae, the returner, might factor into that, right? Because do you keep Alford, who doesn't seem to be able to help as a receiver, where they could have had Robustelli? So, you know, these are the things they have to figure. And you want to make sure that your 44-man roster, although there's extra quarterbacks, but you kind of balance between offensive and defensive players. You got to have a few. And you need guys who can play special teams. So does Robustelli play special teams?
Well, I don't, fella, right? Like, I think Mayer and Cohn both, I felt like they were very comfortable with Robustelli in there, right? Like,
yes, yeah, they both went to him.
And I feel like he had quite a few targets. Yep. Yes. Like
six catches, nine targets.
Yeah. So they overthrew him a couple times. Well, and Jake Mayer
felt
talked
like
about
he was featured
they,
or something.
And man. They talked about Mayer said, that's who I was going to. That's who I was looking for. Because and that's funny because there were three other starting receivers out there.
That's what I'm saying.
And they threw to Robustelli more than anybody.
That chemistry and comfort, right?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's coming up. We'll do a wrap. We'll go through the bold predictions. Some of us will be happier than others on bold predictions from the pregame show and our unsung hero next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. For somebody else than it did for them. That's why they're the unsung heroes. We always start with the winning team. Let's start with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Unsung hero, Darrell Davis.
Jamie, I think I'm going to go with this backup quarterback. This number eight guy looked pretty good. Zach Collaros, two for 80 yards with a touchdown.
Get lost.
Yeah, I think I'm going with him.
No.
Of course I am. He just walked in. Two passes? Wouldn't you make that guy the unsung hero if he was anybody else?
Zach Collaros.
And a touchdown drive. He only played two plays. That's kind of an unsung hero role, isn't it?
Oh, Darrell.
He's my guy, Jamie.
I'm overruled.
Okay. And for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Eddie Hecker, you guys have talked about the number 16, the great interception he made, two defensive tackles, and a special teams tackle just to appease Jamie Nye, who thinks special.
Overruled.
Okay.
For both of them.
Ooh.
Liam Hoskins, two sacks as a draft pick.
Oh, I should have made him I meant to make him the defensive player of the game. So I botched on that one, Jamie. So. Either one, it's okay.
It's preseason, guys.
Yeah.
And by the way, if he was the defensive game warrior, you know what I love, right, Darrell? You know what I love on Unsung Heroes.
Yeah, special teams tackles.
Do you see how many special teams tackles Antoine Brooks got tonight?
How many?
Four special teams tackles.
Oh, geez, he did, too.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Wow. I just noticed that now.
You know what? Dalton, like, next game, we're just letting Jamie take over the Unsung Heroes selection.
And for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Jaden Woodby, he had the forced fumble that led to the touchdown.
Awesome. Good for him.
Zach Collaros, unsung hero.
He's a backup quarterback. He stepped in and looked pretty good in a backup
role. What are we even doing here? Supposed to be home in bed already, but the smoke made us stay up past midnight. Okay, let's get to bold predictions. This worked out better for you and me, Darrell, than it did for Belton Johnson.
That's preseason, buddy. Hey,
Belton doesn't really start to shine until the season. Exactly. The spotlights are on.
That's right.
That's when he makes his move.
Bold predictions. Every pregame show, we go through it. Make some bold predictions on some of the things we could predict before the game, including yardage for the three quarterbacks tonight, Mayer, Cohn, and Stevens. Jack Cohn, 189 yards. I get the point. I was the highest at 130 for Jack Cohn. Jake Mayer at 113. Darrell was the closest. He was at 105. Belton, you were just a little bit too high at 130. Tommy Stevens didn't throw the ball. 0 yards. That was my prediction.
5 yards you picked, eh?
I picked
five.
He picked five.
You said zero.
I said zero.
There you go.
And then total touchdowns and interceptions for all the quarterbacks combined, 0 and 1, which is exactly what I said. 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. Riders touchdown. Belton said no touchdown. No almost, player will score.
Almost, buddy. 20 seconds shy.
21 seconds away from getting 3 points. Instead, Darryl gets a point because he said Mario Anderson would score the touchdown on a run.
Yeah.
And I
did
also
say it would happen late in the first quarter, not late in the fourth quarter.
I also said a running play would be the first touchdown. I thought it was going to be Tommy Stevens. And I said it was late in the second. So I get the point for the time.
Okay.
The punting, that was a very important thing today. Did you think Joe Couch won the job today?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I do. Yeah.
He looked good. Especially with the hustle.
Yes, getting downfield.
His average was 5 yards more than Bailey Flint last week, and his net was 7 yards more than Bailey Flint last week.
Wow.
A 45-yard average for a 40 net yards. So Darryl got both points.
Mm.
Well, kind of. Darryl got the point for net average. You said 39. It was 40.3. Longest total punt was 53 yards.
Mm.
You said 56. And I said 50, so we're both three off, so we both get a point.
Okay.
And then
we don't even argue. Well, why would I argue? You can argue, Belton. That cuts you out.
What, do you want it to be?
No, I'm good.
You want it, if
I'm
you
good.
Go over, you don't get a point, and then Darryl doesn't
I'm
get a
good.
Point.
I'm good, David. You run it.
I'm
good,
I'm being David. Fair. It's right here. 3 yards difference between each of us. We both get a point.
I just don't have any points yet. That's what I
You don't have any points because you picked the Riders to win. You got shut out tonight, Belton.
I picked the Riders to win, too.
So did I.
Okay, so none of us get points for that. Belton is shut. It's just like Saskatchewan's offense,
that's
man.
That's the first time I've been like,
that doesn't happen very often.
Man.
Belton got a goose egg tonight.
If they had it just waited 21 seconds, you'd have got 3 points.
I'm waiting on next week.
I got we're seven, good. And Darryl got five. So the scoreboard after the preseason, I'm at 11. Daryl's at 9. Belton stuck on 2 on
guess,
that one.
Guess someone had to be like journalism, huh? Coming up the rear there, right?
Yep, sixth place in the turn. Up the back, from the back end. That's been our running gag all night.
The CFL Plus back end, no good.
Yeah, the Riders working on the back end of their roster.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay, next week. It is a 7 o'clock start on a Thursday night with the Rough Riders against the Ottawa Red Blacks. That is the opening game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So that's when we're back on the air with the Green Zone Game Day. 5 o'clock is the kickoff. Did someone say it's on a Thursday night?
One from the gun underneath.
There we go.
Thursday night lights. Singing loud.
Yes, we'll see you next Thursday night on the Green Zone Game Day. Thanks for listening. Chance behind the board, Britton Gray, my favorite two guys, Darryl Davis and Belton Johnson. Have a great weekend. And with all this air quality and wildfire smoke, we are thinking of all those, fighting those wildfires, being impacted from those to central and northern Saskatchewan. We are definitely thinking of you this weekend. Have a great one. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.